Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei HaYamim Bet Perek Chet. Chapter 8 discusses Shlomo's activities after the completion of the Beit HaMikdash in his palace, which took a total of 20 years. We read about Shlomo's far-flung building projects, the conquest of Hamas Tzova, the description of the workforce employed in the building programs, and arrangements for the living quarters of Bat Paro, Paro's daughter. Shlomo's practices and dispositions concerning the temple service are discussed, and Shlomo fits out a navy and imports gold from Ophir, which funds his massive building campaigns. A parallel account of these six matters are recorded in Melachim. But in Melachim, there's a lot more information about Shlomo's reign in general than here in Divrei HaYamim. In Melachim, the focus was on Shlomo's monarchy, and there were a lot of details about Shlomo's relationship to his subjects and how his court ran. But in Divrei HaYamim, where most of that was omitted, we have to ask why these particular six activities are recorded after the temple's building and inauguration. As we discussed at the end of the last chapter, it seems that immediately after inaugurating the temple, Shlomo married Bat Paro, which is considered by the rabbis to have been a big mistake. In Shabbos 56b, the Talmud writes, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Basha'a shenasa Shlomo et bat paro, Yarad Gavriel, v'na'atz kaneh bayam, v'alabo siriton, v'alav nivne krach gadol shel romi. Rav Yehuda said that Shmuel said, when Shlomo married Paro's daughter, the angel Gabriel descended from heaven and implanted a reed into the sea, and a sandbar grew around it, growing larger each year. And upon it, the great city of Rome was built, which became God's instrument to punish Israel. By discussing these activities, after all the information about the temple, Ezra is hinting at the fact that one would think Shlomo would focus on the people's spiritual well-being, but he did not. He focused on worldly pursuits instead and did not reinforce the spiritual impact which the Beit HaMikdash could have had. Pasuk Bet states, V'ha'arim asher natan churam l'shlomo, bana Shlomo otam, v'yushav sham et b'nei Israel. Shlomo also rebuilt the cities that Huram had given him and settled Israelites in them. This is the opposite of what it says in Melachim chapter 9, that Shlomo gave cities to Hiram. Radak writes that the two accounts tell of two separate gifts. Ralbag agrees with this idea because Shlomo would never have given Hiram any cities if it would have made the land of Israel smaller. He gave cities only because he received equivalent cities in return. The Malbim disagrees. He thought it unlikely that two separate transactions would have taken place, each reported in one book but not referenced in the other. He explains that Shlomo never meant to make an outright gift of the cities to Huram. Rather, he gave them so that their produce could yield the wheat, barley, wine, and oil, which he had contracted to pay the workers. The cities would remain in Jewish ownership. This would explain why Huram did not like the cities. He did not feel that the area was fertile enough to yield the required amounts. Since the cities could not fill the purposes for which they were given, Huram returned them. This is what Divrei HaYamim is referring to. It's not two separate transactions. The two Svarim books deal with two different aspects of the same occurrence. This opinion of the Malbim seems more halachically valid, since we learn from the Rambam, Maimonides, in Mishneh Torah, his book of Halacha, Ein mochrin lahem batim v'sadot be'eretz Yisrael. It is forbidden to sell them homes and fields in Eretz Yisrael. Here, Ezra is focusing on Shlomo's activities post-temple inauguration and therefore only mentions the cities that Shlomo received and was building up. Verse 3 tells us, Vayelech Shlomo Chamatzova v'yichazek aleha. Shlomo marched against Chamatzova and empowered it until he conquered it, according to Radak. It is interesting to note that this is the only hint of any military activity we know from Shlomo. This makes sense in light of David's words to Shlomo before he passed. Hine ben nolalach hu yeish minucha v'hani chotze li mikol oivav misaviv ki Shlomo yeshmo v'shalom v'sheket eten al Yisrael b'yamav. But you will have a son who will be a man at rest, for I will give him rest from all his enemies on all sides. Shlomo will be his name, and I shall confer peace and quiet on Israel in his time. Psukim Dalet through Vav, verses 4 to 6, lists the cities that Shlomo built. The summary language in the sixth pasuk is worth noting. Ve'et kol cheshek Shlomo, asher chashak livnot b'Yerushalayim ubelevanon ubechol eretz memshalto. Everything that Shlomo desired to build in Jerusalem and in the Lebanon and throughout the territory that he ruled, Shlomo craved to build. His desire at this time centered upon building projects in Jerusalem and Lebanon. Verses 7 to 8 describe the work levies which Shlomo gathered for his building projects. The tax drew from descendants of the Canaanite nations which had occupied the land at the time of Yoshua's conquest. But how can that be? The mitzvah to destroy the nations when entering upon Israel are very clear. We read in Devarim, Ki yivyacha Hashem elkecha el haaretz asher ataba shama lirishta, v'nashal goyim rabim mipanecha, shiv'a goyim rabim v'atzumi mimecha. When your God brings you to the land that you are about to enter and possess, and God dislodges many nations before you, seven nations much larger than you, Unitanam Hashem elkecha lefanecha, v'hikitam hachrim tachrimotam, lo tichrot lahambrit, v'lo tichanem. And your God delivers them to you, and you defeat them. You must doom them to destruction, grant them no terms, and give them no encampment on the land. Ramban explained that these people did not fall under the Torah's requirement that the seven Canaanite nations be totally destroyed, because they willingly renounced idol worship and accepted conditions of servitude. They had the status of a ger toshav, former idol worshippers who had agreed to be bound by the seven Noahide laws. Verses 9 to 10 explain that the children of Israel were not made servants, they served in the military instead. Then the psukim return to the topic of the Beit HaMikdash. Though Shlomo was focused on strengthening the country through his building campaigns, he did not abandon the temple service completely. He brought voluntary sacrifices and established the daily Tamid offering. He established the 24 divisions of the Kohanim, priests, and 24 corresponding divisions of the Levites, according to the system set up by David before he died. We read that, Vatikochon kol melechet Shlomo ad hayom musad beit Hashem v'ad kalato shalem beit Hashem. And all of Shlomo's work was well executed from the day the house of God was founded until the house of God was completed to perfection. The entire project, from beginning to end, because of Shlomo's careful preparations, both the physical building and the activities carried within, went without hindrance. When comparing our chapter to its parallel in Malachim, we notice that his marriage to Bat Paro is not mentioned. And here we have five psukim about Shlomo establishing the temple service versus only one pasuk about it in Malachim. This fits well with the overall theme of each Sefer book. When writing Malachim, Yirmiyahu is explaining the history of Shlomo's reign and also what led to the destruction of the temple and the exile. So he includes Shlomo's marriage to Bat Paro and minimizes the service in the Beit HaMikdash that will be destroyed. Divrei Hayamim, as we've mentioned before, is focused on the external, eternal contributions of David and Shlomo and on emphasizing their contribution and connection to the temple, since Ezra will soon accompany the children of Israel back from Babylonia and will begin building the second Beit HaMikdash. This year is dedicated to Zechra Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.